Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn them to two different places. Turn them to Titus chapter number 2, and then if you're like me, you can take something that you filed away in your Bible and stick it there and hold your place. And then go to Psalms chapter 144 tonight, if you would. Again, as always, it is a pleasure to stand in this place and to preach and the church. Amen. I need to clear something up from the last time that I was able to preach for you. I just wanted to let you know that I didn't finish the story about my wife in the car with me. And so I probably should deal with that. I was preaching furiously, not that I did it fastly, just furiously all over the place. And so the 43 times that I said, listen, you just had to, it's because you weren't listening, right? And you say, how do you know that? Because somebody informed me that I said, listen 43 times. And I do appreciate your counting, but you obviously weren't listening. And so, but anyway, so if you would listen tonight and to the Word of God, amen, I know that I'll do my best to try to make it a little easier without saying as many listens. But for my wife in the car, it's not that I just have that like I'm doing something wrong. But what my wife, what I was trying to say about my wife that I forgot to get to was that my wife will play jokes on me and she'll say, there's a cop. There's a police officer. He's coming after you. And she'll do that. And it's not nice. And so anyway, and you know, and so anyway, she doesn't do that often anymore. Ever since that one time, but I'm not going to tell that story tonight. And so, anyway, amen. Psalms 144, I want to preach a message and try to get a little bit serious tonight and just stay right here in the scripture, and we'll turn one place to kind of make some application there at Titus chapter number 2. But I've already told the tape room, but for the church tonight, the title of the message would be Battling the World for the Next Generation. Battling the world for the next generation. We live in a day and age, whether we know it or not, that we are losing generations of people. It's been said throughout time over and over again that our churches and our children are leaving in droves. And I you know, we could try to philosophically fill in what is missing in the church today. A lot of time it's not what's missing in the church that is the problem. It's what's missing in our children is the problem. And what's happening is they don't have any depth, and so what they're looking for in a church is not what they should be looking for. And so tonight, I want to take an Old Testament passage, and I want to preach a New Testament application to an Old Testament passage. This passage of Scripture is written by the psalmist David, King David. It is called, in many places, the Warrior Psalm. It's a psalm, again, David, obviously, he wore many hats, like so many different people and so many of us. And for us tonight, as we make application tonight, let me say, you know, we have had two opportunities tonight for service in our church. And I know that so many times we, especially myself, when I was younger, I would look for an opportunity. And tonight, people have stood up and, you know, not very often in a church like ours do people make an open public invitation from the pulpit that there is something that you can plug in and do in the work of God. And so if you are seeking God's will and you want to get in the work, it was announced from the pulpit where you can plug yourself in. And you say, well, let me pray about it. You should have already prayed about it. You just heard it from the pulpit. Now it's time to go to one of those people, be it this meeting or be in the security meeting, and plug yourself into the work of God. It's the best thing you can do. It's the best work you can be a part of. I will say this, if I'm a little bit off tonight, it's because I spent too much time with Jeff Cruz this week. And I just had to say that. Preacher told me to say that. Not really. But anyway, so anyway, Psalms 144, let's pray, and then we'll dive in, and I've got a lot to say, and I heard that there's a race on tonight, so we better get done quick, is what I was told. All right, so let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I do thank you for your many blessings, and I thank you for, again, being able to be in this place and behind this pulpit and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ out of his word. I pray, dear God, tonight, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would use me as your mouthpiece, as your messenger boy. I pray that you just empower me, dear God. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would speak tonight. And I pray that you would open the hearts of the hearers and that they would receive from the Word of God something that would help them tonight, help their family tonight, help young people tonight to want to serve you, want to stick to it, to stay in it, dear God, longer than they would if they didn't hear this message tonight, dear God. They wouldn't hear from your Word. I pray, dear God, tonight that you'd help us. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Battling the world for the next generation. It is a battle. I don't know if you knew this or not, but it is a battle. It is a fight. The world is out to get us. The world wants to destroy the church. It wants to tear everything down. If you read the sword just this week in the noteworthy news, they have gone up to I think it's some 30-acre farm. Maybe it was 50 acres. I can't remember. I read it early in the week, but they told them they were having Bible study on their farm. At their house, and they went up there, and the officials told them that they needed to cease and desist having Bible study on their own property. That's the day and age that we live in. And that was, out of all the colonies, that was a place that people could worship free a long time ago. And it's one of the very first places that's telling them, hey, listen, we're going to have to rezone you if you keep reading the Bible to people on your property. And listen, we got to be careful that we need to suit up, get in the battle, and realize what's going on in our world and realize that the world's not for us. The world's not, listen, if they didn't love Jesus, he said this, they're not going to love us. And we need to prepare ourselves for battle. We need to prepare our children for the battle of life. They will not grow up in the America that their grandparents grew up in. They will not grow up in the same attitude and similitude of Christianity. They will grow up in an area of people, listen, they are growing up in an area of people that are at best apathetic to the Christian faith. And so we have to, as we look at this psalm again, the primary application or the speaking, David is under inspiration writing a song that the Israelites would sing. And again, but to us as the New Testament Christian, I want you to put it in perspective of what's here. Let's read the verse. He says in verse number 1, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands," look at it, "to war, and my fingers to fight." I think oftentimes we live in a day and age where we don't think that the pen is mightier than the sword. But we live in a day and age where now these fingers can type all kinds of things and we can post and we can put things out there. But listen, we are getting, and I know many of you do, but listen, how about your Christian faith? How about penning things that actually go to war? Actually penning things that, listen, when they come out and say something about homosexuality and how good it is and how we need to bow to it, listen, we need to come and butt it with listen, the reason the Bible's not in the school is because we didn't stand up and fight for it. The reason that prayer is not in the school is because we didn't stand up and fight for it. The reason that homosexuality is all over the television is because we didn't stand up and fight it when it first went on. Listen, if God's people are going to be, listen, if we are going to have children that stick it out and stay in the faith, listen, it's not going to be because of laced, pantied Christians that are going to lay back. It's because of people that are going to let the Lord teach their fingers to fight. It's going to allow them to know that when it's time to go to war. Listen, I taught this morning. Listen, tribulation is nothing. Nobody wants to go into tribulation. You and I don't want to go into tribulation. I don't want to be a part of tribulation, but tribulation worketh patience. Amen. And what is patience? It teaches us experience. Do you know the problem is, listen, you know every company in town, every company around the world that is looking for people, they want somebody with experience. You know what churches need more than anything? They need young people to grow up in church and to have some experience by the time they're mature young people and get plugged into their church. That's what a church needs. Every ministry needs that. And what happens is we come to a place, listen, and we don't think that it says the Lord, blessed be the Lord, my strength. We've forgotten where our strength comes from. We think our strength is I can get in the gym and pump enough iron so that I can be strong enough. No, listen, it's a day and age where we've got to learn this book. We've got to know this book so that, listen, because we have got to be able to fight for this book. We've got to be able to teach this book to our young people. They've got to know why they, listen, it's nothing wrong with people asking why. You know, the reason we get upset with children is because we don't know why. We haven't gone to the book and tell them why. Listen, everything tonight that we believe is bound up in this book. Everything that is taught from this pulpit is bound up in this book. Every rule that's in the rule book is bound up in this book. There's a reason that we go about it. And here tonight, battling the world for the next generation, I see this. David, the church tonight, we need to have the right view of God. Blessed be the Lord, my strength. We need to see God as our strength, which teacheth my hands to war. We've got the right teacher, my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield. He is in whom I trust. He in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Now, that's David writing as a king. But listen, we need to tonight understand that we have to see God as our strength. He is my goodness. He's my fortress. He's my high tower, my deliverer, my shield. So many times in the Christian life, we get down in the dumps because we don't have the strength to go on because we're looking to other things to give us strength. Tony Hudson would preach, if we could dump out our pocketbooks, we could skate from the back to the front on pills because we try to go and try to get something else to give us strength. There are other people that trust in the flesh to give us strength. And listen, we need to take care of this body. It's the only one we're ever going to be given to live and to do and to serve God. But listen to me, it is not that. The Lord is my strength. This battle that we're talking about tonight with my children, it's not about the flesh. It's going to be about my spirit. It's going to be about the Holy Spirit of God trying to get their heart, trying to get their mind, trying to teach them the Word of God, trying to teach them that strength does not come from this body. It comes from God. God Almighty. And we have to get to the place where we understand that and we teach that the right view of God is essential in the battle against the world for the next generation. The right view of man is essential. Look at the scripture. He says, Lord, what is man that thou talkest, thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account, look at this, that thou makest account of him. Look, man is like to vanity. Look, he is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that pass away. We understand what man is. And we understand that, listen, we're just a blip on the radar compared to God. You and I, the Bible this morning, Pastor talked about our life is a vapor. It passes away. And you and I, we have got to come to the place where we realize that, listen, Pastor preached it before. We need to hear it again. But listen, this is this body, this man that I am, listen, I cannot destroy the soul, but there's a God in heaven. And we so often, we are scared to death of our political leaders or somebody that's willing to stand up and preach what they believe that is against the Christian faith. And we need to get some holy boldness about ourselves and realize that they're just a man, but there's a God man that died on Calvary and his message is worth preaching. And he's a lot more powerful than they could ever be. And it's an eternal message that doesn't need to, listen, it doesn't need to die with my generation. It doesn't need to die with the next generation. You say, well, that's an eternal book. I believe that. But listen, I'm here to tell you tonight, if we don't get some boldness about ourselves, then we are just going to, listen, it's going to shriek back. Look at the church today. Compare. I'm in here with my pastor, and I come in, and I look at this crowd, and I think, man, this is a pretty good crowd. And the preacher goes, man, ain't nobody here tonight. You know why? Because there was a day where you had to come early to find a seat in this place. There was a day, listen, even though we think that this is pretty good, we think it's all right. It's enough. It is enough for us. But it's not enough for him. The zeal of God eats him up. And he wants to get not back to where he was, but more. Not for himself, but for the Lord. He wants one more. Listen, this morning, he stood here just like he did in days of old and listened to the Holy Spirit of God. And then he said, listen, I believe there's somebody here tonight or this morning. Maybe this is what's happening to you. Did you hear it like I did this morning? And he said, maybe there's a little voice in your head that's saying you ought to do that. You ought to step out and walk down there. Something is urging you to come to the front. And it happened again, didn't it? Somebody finally stepped out and walked out. Listen, thank God for that. Thank God for a man of God that's not satisfied. He wasn't willing not to listen to man and say, man, we want to get out of here and get to eat. We got to get on to our lunch. The crock pot is cooking and it's done and we're ready to hit and punch the clock. But he was listening to the Holy Spirit, and there's somebody in this place that needs to be saved. And tonight, listen, we need to get to a place where we don't care what man thinks anymore. Amen. But we care about what God thinks. Amen. He's the supplier of all. He's my shield. He's my fortress. He is my strength. I don't care about man. Man is vanity at best. Man is vanity at best. This old world, everything that it thinks is good, or make it climbing some ladder or making some man happy, God help us that we as Christians fall into that category and allow that mess to get a hold of us. He says, we need to realize that the right view of help. To be in this battle, we not only need to have the right view of God, but the right view of man and the right view of help. Look at the Bible. It says this, bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thy hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children. I believe tonight, listen, we get to the place where we all the stuff before, he's my strength. He's my fortress. He's my shield. He's all these things. But he's more than just the defense, folks. He's my offense as well. Amen. I read through the book of Joshua and some of those battles. I mean, that day-long battle where he stood the sun. You know, we like to preach about how he held the sun in the air, but God wasn't happy with that. The Bible said that he rained down stones upon him. God got in the battle, and God killed more people that day than the Israelites ever killed. And I want to tell you, listen, my God is an awesome God. He's not some God that just cares and tries to strengthen me, but he wants, once I'm in it, he wants to get in it with me. He wants to rid me of all that mess. He wants to get that out of my way. He wants to help me to, listen, put on the armor of God and to fight the battles that need to be fought. Amen. Every time that my preacher tells a story about standing up against the government or anybody else, listen, I wouldn't have wanted to have been there. I wouldn't have wanted to have been him in the middle of it. They come to get him and put him in shackles. Oh, it's nice after the fact to hear all about it, and even for him, but I guarantee it was scary when it was going on. I guarantee in the middle of it, he thought about backing down. In the middle of it, he thought about, well, maybe it would be better if I just let him come on to the camp and walk in here. But I'm here to tell you, it's taken a man of God to build a place like this, to stand up and to believe that God could strengthen him and that God could take care of him, that God could, listen, who in the world could have told somebody, who in the world could have told you that the governor's daughter was on the property? Granddaughter. Can I help you tonight? That didn't just happen. That was God. Amen. That was God getting in of it. We need to get to a place. God, rid me of this mess. Rid our country of this horrid disease of homosexuality, because that's what it is. And I hate to even call it that, because that makes it sound, it's a choice. It's not something they caught. God, help us. We not only have to have the right view of help and who's going to help us, but the right view of separation. The right view of separation, he says in verse 7, send thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children whose mouths speak vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I want to tell you tonight, we have got to be separated from the world. Rid me of this stuff. We've got to get separated from the world. We cannot dabble with the things of the world. We don't need to allow the things of the world to come into the church. The church doesn't need anything the world's got. The church doesn't need the world for anything or anybody except for to win souls out of it and bring them into the church. We don't need that foolishness. We need to separate ourselves. One of the things that is killing the generation that is to come is that we mix and we just wallow in the world. We as God's people, we want to be halfway in and out. We don't want to be separated. We don't want to throw away the things of the world and separate ourselves. We think, well, man, you got to have some common sense. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, I hate that foolishness. Listen, it's God's business, and he wants us to come out from among them and be ye separate. That's not just an Old Testament scripture. That's New Testament as well. What do you mean, Brother Parsons? I mean, get rid of the world's clothes. Get rid of the world's music. Get rid of the world's mindset. Get rid of the world's games. Get rid of the world's goals and get godly goals and get godly music. Realize that gain is, listen, true gain in God's world is not the same thing as gain in the world. True success for God, listen, some of you have got to change your own mind. The world has permeated you, and what you want for your kids might not be what God wants for them. And you're driving your children to be something and to do something that might not be God's will for their life. God help us. God help us. Listen, the right kind of worship. He says in verse 9, I will sing a new song unto thee. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. The world's got it messed up. Everybody comes to church for praise and worship when it ought to be worship and praise. Amen. They got it backwards. The worldly churches got it backwards. They come and praise God. And then they say that they worshiped. But we ought to come with a spirit of worship. And then praise God for what he did in the midst of the church. Amen. You see, this praise and worship foolishness is taking and tearing good people that used to be godly all the pieces. They get hung up. They think after the song service is over that they've had church with this much preaching. Or they get up and read a verse and go home. And they're killing our nation with that foolishness. Because people are coming to church and punching the clock. There are churches in this country that you buy a ticket to get a seat for the entertainment of church. God help us when we come to a day and age where people buy their ticket or they reserve their seat in church. Listen, there was a day when Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and I don't think he was, I'm not trying to say he was the best. I'm just telling you, they had tickets. I think that's where, you know what it was? Because the house of God was so full, the normal church members got a ticket so that they could invite someone else to take their seat so that lost people could come in and hear the gospel. God help that we could get back to a day where, listen, we would have to stand on the edges and let lost people take our seat. Where we would have people come in because they know that there's something going on down at the Landmark Baptist Church. And I don't know why those people are different. I don't understand why that place is on fire. I don't understand how different they are. They're just, listen, they're not hateful. They're helpful. Amen. I've got to see what that place is about. And that you would have to say, you can have my seat here, sit here. We're in, listen, it gets so staunch and old that we get mad with people when they take our seat. Right. I sat there. This is my seat. Don't be sitting in my seat. Now, young people, you ought to give your seat up if somebody wants it. Amen. Yep. But I'm here to tell you, if somebody you don't know comes into the church, you ought to say, why don't you sit with me? Amen. Thank God for people. I watch people. Thank God for you that, man, you look for people that have never been here before and you try to welcome them and help them understand that they're welcome in this place. Amen. So many times God's people are so caught up with each other that they don't even know when other people show up. They don't even know when other people come into the house of God. We're so busy looking for help and a hand out from God, we're not looking to hand God out.
Amen.
God help us. We need to be separated. We need to, listen, worship God and praise him for what he does, not get caught up with praise and worship. And then look at this. We need to have the right view of salvation, if you would. I love this, how he says this here. He says, it is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. He gets on to this, and I know that it's Old Testament, and I understand where we're at, but listen, in the New Testament, make an application. Boy, we get be made kings and priests with Jesus Christ. Amen. Salvation brings us a whole new inheritance when we get saved. That verse to the New Testament Christian means a lot more than it ever did to David back in the Old Testament. He was looking forward to salvation, but today I can look back and I see all that my Savior did. And listen, I've got the scripture to back it up and all the things I got when I got him.
Amen.
Bless God, we as Christians, why in the world do we ever need anything else from God after we get saved? Why are we looking for so much else for God to bless us? He only saved your never dying soul. Do you realize you'll never spend a day in hell, but yet we are always looking for one more thing from God and one more blessing, and His blessings are new every day, the Bible says. And listen, I know we need those things, but why in the world? Listen, even if He never gave us anything else, He's been so good to us, we ought to serve Him tomorrow. Even if He never shows up with another blessing and the rest of my life was tribulation, He's still good enough for me to serve every day of my life. And some of us get sorry and sulk in our own pity, in our own wallow, in our own, oh man, it makes me so angry when we get to the place when we get sorry on God because we think that God didn't give us something that we deserve. If you got what you deserved, you'd go to hell. And He's already given you better than that. We have to have the right view of salvation. There's so many other people that are preaching that there's salvation in other things. That we were talking and joking around about, there's a religion out, and I mentioned the Pastafarians. We could start our own, the Pizzafarians or whatever else, and we could worship anything. And there's a bunch of people that worship all kinds of things, but salvation is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only in His death, burial, and resurrection that we can trust in salvation. And we have got to get to a place where we realize that everybody else is preaching everything else, and we've got to preach it over and over again to a lost and dying world, because listen, it's getting drowned out by all kinds of, not just the world who's saying there is no God, those fools, but a bunch of other fools who are preaching everything else but Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got to tell people about salvation. We have to have the right view of it. We have to have the right view of separation. Listen now, not just separation from the world, but separation from the worldly wrong people in the church. Now listen, that's getting ready to get tight in here, and I know, I'm just going to tell you can't hang out with everybody and grow. You can't get around critical people and grow. You can't get around people that don't want to see. Listen, if their focus is not God and the message, the people with the same mindset as Christ that want to see people saved, listen, all they're worried about is some other thing, and they're always busy about themselves or whatever else. Listen, we have got to get to a place that we separate ourselves from other people that don't want to grow, that want to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church. They want the blessings of God, but they want the blessings of the world. You better separate yourself and move your family away from that family, because they'll hurt you. You won't drag them out, they'll drag you in. You say, Brother Parsons, come on now. I'm just here to tell you, look at the Bible. The only thing that's repetitive in this whole scripture, 11, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanities, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Listen, the world has permeated the church. And whether you know it or not, I guarantee in this place, as many people as we've got, there are people in this place that are lost and going to bust hell wide open. They are trusting in their good works. They're trusting in their baptism. They're trusting in something else to get them to heaven other than true salvation. And they are going to try to get their hooks in other people and drag them down with them. Amen. They've heard the truth, and they're not listening. Amen. You better separate yourselves. You better protect your family. You better make sure. You say, Brother Parsons, really, inside the church? I'm not saying that you shouldn't be cordial. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be a witness, but I'm here to tell you, when you separate yourself from a family, that is a true witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's an answer. Listen, it's doing what the Bible says to do. Amen. Separating yourself. I wouldn't let my child go over to somebody's house that watches something that I don't approve. I wouldn't let my child go over and be at someone's house that listens to the wrong music. I wouldn't let my child go to one of those places. Why? Because I love my children, and I want them to grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I came to an altar and took my children down and told the preacher and told God one day that I'd raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that I'd take care of them and watch over for them. And that's not just from the world, folks. That's from other people in the church that would hurt my children. You better watch out and guard yourselves. Oh, Brother Parsons, it's not really like that. Now, I've got to really buckle. I've got 5 minutes, and y'all are going to have to listen fast. Verse number 12, wide open. Here we go. All right, I preached the first message. Jeff, did you hear me? That's message number one. We're on message number two now, all right? I said all that to say this. The reason we battle, the reason we're going to get the right view, the reason we're going to get after it is, number one, because of our sons. Look at the scripture with me. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. He says here this, and as I try to hasten, can I give you this? Number one, the reason that we must war, that we must learn how to war. What? The reason we've got to battle, not as just because we're commanded to, we've got to for the next generation. It says so that our sons, you see this? Look at it. I'm going to read it again. We'll deal with the sons first. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. We live in a day and age, and I don't have time to preach everything I want to preach tonight about this, but I'm going to tell you right now, we have a problem in America and in our churches that our young people are allowed to be kids way too long. Amen. Young people, college students, adults, can I tell you tonight, this is saying that are the reason that we must battle the world is so that our young people will grow up. And it says plants, okay? Did you see it with me? Look at it again. I don't want you to forget it. I want you to get this. He says, it's good, isn't it? Be as plants grown up in their youth. You know, a plant that grows up, when I go into Lowe's and I buy my tomato plants, I'll buy one that's still pretty youthful. But I want one that's got tomatoes on it already. I don't want to buy one that's just a tomato plant. I want to see the tomatoes on the vine. I want my young people, I want my sons to grow up and to be men. Amen. I want them to grow up, and I want them as a young man, as a young plant, to have fruit unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My young people ought to be able to win somebody to Christ by the time they're a young teenage adult. By the time they're a young teenage adult, they ought to be able to function for themselves. They ought to be able to leave the house before they're 30 years old and make a living on their own. Nobody in this world has ever done anybody any favors by letting them milk off of mom and dad over and over again. And the problem is, listen, that is what the world does. And it's permeated the church. The church, when I was 12, 14 years old, I could have worked and lived on my own. I just still like the benefits of living home with mom and cooking. I like the fried chicken. I could have gone out and done it myself, but I love mom and daddy and I wanted to stay there. And finally, when I got old enough, I liked a girl and I wanted to have the same kind of home my mommy and daddy had. And listen, that wasn't living in mommy and daddy's house. That was going and getting my own. Amen. 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 Sons, daughters. Now, I'm going to preach this fast. Daughters, I've never been one. So I'm just going to tell you from the outside looking in, all right? That our daughters may be as cornerstones. Now, if we were to take, I don't have time to go to Titus tonight where I told you to turn, but if you would read about young ladies, one of the things that it says is keepers of the home. And something that is a lost art and that the world took from the church is that our ladies being the cornerstones of the home. The one that kept it and kept it held together. The one that, listen, I'm not talking about Jesus shouldn't be the foundation of everything, but the cornerstone of the home is the mom. Amen. Is mama. And listen, we have been unisexed from the 70s all the way up until today. Yeah. I'm just here to tell you. Amen, Brother Parsons. I'll give me one. I'll amen myself if I got to, but come on. I want you to understand that moms are the cornerstone. Mom is the one. Listen, the reason that the world and everything else is going to pop because mom had to go to work. Amen. I'll say it again. Amen. Titus chapter number 2. Read it and understand that I'm not trying to be hard and angry or ugly with anybody. But the problem that we live in our day and age is, listen, that this old Bible that's here is still true. And it doesn't just say the cornerstones, but it says polished. Doesn't it? Polished. Like a cornerstone in the palace. Can you imagine how beautiful a cornerstone in a palace was? How nicely decorated that was? How nicely polished the edges of it were? We live in a day and age where our ladies are no longer feminine. It's no big deal for a teenage girl to burp and just belch right in the middle of everything. And I'm not talking about just at camp. I mean, things happen at camp that we shouldn't tell anywhere else. You know what I'm talking about. But it's a lost thing for young ladies being feminine, being what they ought to be, and being the lady that they ought to be. And we need that back, and that comes with separation and having the right view of the Bible and all the things that come having the right view of the home. That's not popular today. I realize I'm not getting a lot of stars and boxes, and everybody that counted my 43 listens and probably the 21 from tonight didn't like that, but that's okay because that's the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Look at it with me, verse 13. Now, I'm going to have to make a little bit of a stretch, and you guys will have to go with me tonight, all right? But the Bible says in Micah, the Old Testament talks about, in Malachi, it talks about bring the tithes into the storehouse. This here, that our garners may be full. The garner was a place that you brought grain and stored it up. All right, I want you to make a New Testament application that the garners is the church house where the church comes in to be together. That our garners may be full, not the coffers full, okay? But the church may be full. These things, the reason that our churches aren't, listen, if everybody that got saved and their families that got saved and their children had stayed here, we would have to build a building three times this size to hold them all. But they're all over Haines City tonight because they didn't get what we're preaching on tonight. And the next generation, the past generation, has gone to the world. And we've got to get to a place where we preach and believe and live this out so that the house of God might be full of the generation that was born in church, that grew up in church and in our Christian schools, and then live out their Christianity in the same place that they grew up. He goes on to say this, that I love this. He says, affording all manners of store. That means there ain't any kind of grain that ain't welcome. We live in a day and age where a lot of times, depending upon what the person, I'm glad I don't go to a church like that, but the church ought to be a place that doesn't matter what race, creed, religion that you used to come from, that when you walk in the door, you're welcome in God's house to hear the preaching of God's word, that you're welcome in the doors, that all manners of store are welcome to come in. Listen, but I'm here to tell you, we got to be guarded, but people ought to feel like they're welcome when they come, that they afford all kinds. And then he goes on to say, I love this, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. Amen. I believe the sheep there is talking about just the disciples of Christ, just the everyday disciple of Christ, the ones that get saved and start to get discipled to the place where they can tell other people about Jesus Christ. That is not some far-fetched thing. That's what everybody used to do. People that got saved got excited and they told other people. Yeah. Hey, can I ask you, church tonight, when was the last time that you, not with a track, but with these old lips that God gave you, not puckered up and kissed your wife, all right, but told somebody about the person that you love in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. That you went out of your way to give them the gospel whether they wanted it or not. I'm talking confrontational soul winning. We ought to all be growing up into Christianity to the place where we can do that. Say, well, Brother Parsons, not all of us have time. Listen, I'm here to tell you, we all have time. Somewhere, some way, across the gas pump, at the door, on the job site, somewhere, at lunch, we've got time to take time to give somebody the gospel. And we need to be about it. And that's why the sheep aren't multiplying like they used to. And he goes on, that our oxen may be strong. The Bible, Jesus says that, he talks about that yoke, take my yoke upon you. Get in the yoke with Jesus Christ. And I believe this could be in explained leaders in the church, the oxen. And listen, if we live right and all the things that came before in the message tonight, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out. Listen, we don't want people breaking into the church that ought not be here with wrong doctrine, and that's why you have strong leaders to keep those people out. And then they're here and they lead well and they're strong. You need good leaders to help people so you don't have a church split and a bunch of people go out. And he goes on, nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Every time you take time to complain, you're complaining to God about the people he put over you. That old saying, everything rises and falls on leadership, for somehow we think that it only goes halfway up the chain. It goes all the way to the top, friend. Not only to your pastor, but all the way to Jesus. Oh, well, I don't believe that's the Lord's will. Well, you're bucking the leadership of the church. We ought to pray that our... I'll call myself an oxen. That the oxen ought to be strong. Amen. That they labor well in the church. Care for those people. Every time we decide to just go out on a limb and start complaining everything, we're tearing down the house of God and everything that God has built. We're tearing down our children when we complain about the things of God, at the house of God, in the ministry of God. We're not tearing down, we're tearing down our own families when we go to complaining about things going on in this place. Right. Amen. 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 Brother Parsons. You really believe that? I really believe that. Amen. I really believe that. Amen. Then he says in verse 15, happy is he, or happy is that people that is in such a case as yea. Look, case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. See, we, this term of true joy, this Old Testament passage of Scripture ends with happy. Because it's Old Testament. We live in a New Testament, and we can plug joy in that place. Amen. Trials, tribulations, patience can come, but we can have joy, even in the rough patches. He's saying that if everything was done exactly right, happy, you could be happy. With no complaining and all these things, if we'd line up and just do what the Bible says. But in the New Testament, we realize it. I'm a sinner looking at a bunch of sinners. And you're probably not going to do it all right. I'm not going to do it all right. But we can have joy anyway. Amen. We can give it to God. We don't have to complain. We don't have to stew. We don't have to tear down our homes. We don't have to tear down the church. We don't have to tear down the leadership. We can decide that we're going to war with the world. Decide that we, listen, that's the problem with the church today. We're at war with the wrong people. We're taking shots at people on the inside of the church instead of getting busy about taking it to the world. Letting God teach us in our fingers to war. Instead of taking your Facebook time to attack the church, the people of the church, the things of the church, and things that are going on, why don't you get after those sorry rascals that are out in the world that are tearing this place down? Why don't you complain about an ABC TV show that you watched the night before and it sickened you how they had at least three homosexual couples in it? That would change the world. People watch that stuff, but instead we'll get on and talk about and tear down the things of God. Say, Brother Parsons, is it really like that? It's really like that. That's right where we live. We don't like it, do we? We don't like that at all, but young people, sons, you need to grow up and get to work for God. Ladies, get more feminine. Realize that being home is right where you belong. And it's all right. This place in this Christian school, my daughter told the teacher, I just want to stay home and be a homemaker. And she was belittled for that in this place because a worldly mindset has permeated even the church. God help us for running people down for just wanting to do what God said. God help us for running people down for just doing right. God help us. Listen, we need to get to the place where we decide who the enemy is and get after him. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I didn't preach a salvation message tonight, but if you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, I would beg you to come down an old-fashioned altar and receive Jesus Christ. The Bible tells you, simply and truthfully, just to put your faith and trust in Him, and you can be saved. Maybe you're here tonight, you need to be baptized. You've been in this place a long time. Maybe you've been saved for a long time. You've just been fearful. Why don't you join up an old-fashioned Bible-believing church and get to work with us? Maybe you're here and something else in the message touched your heart. Would you do business with God? Would you stand with me? I'll pray, and the singing will start. Dear Jesus, I pray tonight that God's people would do what you asked them to do. I pray you'd help us all, dear God, to get to work for you, to take aim at the real enemy. and to take the target off of each other. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Burke, would you lead us?
All to Jesus I surrender.